in life, being able to manage to communicate with people on your side of life, the friends who ask you to come felt that my particular message would have some interest for people on your side. As a matter of fact, it's an old saying that the past is the past and its death has it. But we on this side know only too well that nothing is further from the truth, because the past is in the present. And indeed, if it weren't for the past, there couldn't be any present, and there couldn't be any future. And in a sense, the past is like a mirror in which you see the reflection of myself. Without it, I have no doubt we couldn't even be. So many people are inclined to think when a thing is dead, finished with, that's the end of it. Memories may remain, but they themselves with time become dim and sometimes obscure, and gradually assume an unimportance. But I want to talk to you about something which I think is very vital, very important, because it affects every human being, either directly or indirectly. And that is the risk that we cannot escape from ourselves, and we cannot escape from our responsibilities, not only to others, but the responsibility that we have in regard to our own individual self. The past, everything that has happened in regard to human beings, is important. I look back on my life and I'm only too conscious of the fact that if I had known what I now know, I've done very, very differently, very differently in the evening. I had the unpleasant task of taking life by law. Now, there may be excuses. Indeed, there are very good excuses for taking life under certain circumstances and conditions. Although I realize that taking life under any circumstances is morally wrong, yet there are alleviating circumstances at times when a person does something and they've lost all control, and their passions have been aroused, and they are in themselves completely and absolutely out of control of their senses. They do things for which they invariably regret. And in a sense, one may pity them, one may feel desperately sorry for them when the time comes for them to pay the bill for society. And of course there are others who do organize and arrange premeditated murder. That is of course in an entirely different category. But even so, after great reflection, after great argument, in the discussion, within my innermost self. And of course, with many souls over here, some indeed who were sent here by the Lord, and by, in some instances, my hand, I have come back particularly to appeal to humanity to refrain from taking life. A case which springs to mind very strongly at this moment as I speak to you is the case of the destruction. And this is a long time ago, and you may have completed the doctrinal passage. Whether you have or whether you have not, whether society has forgotten, as it often does, sometimes even conveniently to such itself, nothing can wipe away from my memory the terrible tragedy that a woman, foolish woman, an enamored woman, allowed herself to be caught in the web of circumstances. And if the woman is innocent, she was, and yet her life was taken because society, and to a great extent, public, demanded it, the public wanted it, the public restrained it as they see, although I will assure you I have no personal animosity or ill will or feeling toward anyone, whatever that seems, the weeping of the country. That time, if my memory serves me right, but very much in trying to feel that she had misled a younger man, and she was to a great extent responsible for the tragedy, and felt that just that it was justified that she should be hung. You know, human beings are very strange. And there's nothing worse, and I can assure you this is certain, there's nothing worse than a form of mob hysteria. And often when the newspapers whip up public opinion, whip up and sensationalize, as they certainly did in the case of Thompson and Bywater's case, you know, there's no doubt about it. The woman herself had no knowledge whatsoever that murder was going to take place that night. She was as innocent as a newborn babe of the fact that her lover was going to commit murder, either on that night or any other night for that matter. She was a very weak, a very foolish woman in many ways. Yet, as indeed many others, have suffered for their foolishness, still does not the fact that many who go to the gallows are innocent of the crimes which are put up at their door. My name is Ellis, and I can assure you that it is not in a sense now a name that I'm proud of. There was a time in the earlier years when I was quite proud to be a public hangman. I saw no wrong in it at all. I thought it was everyone's duty to support the law and the unknowns taking place, though the retribution should follow. I believe that so many people said they still do believe an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, the old law of Moses. But how strange it seems in a Christian country that the old law of Moses should body to be taken into dust rather than the teachings of the Christ.
Please, the moment, and continue.
May I please continue? I am sorry, I do not want to be alone, but it's very difficult for me to concentrate. But I was telling you that I had been asked to come by various souls on this side who were themselves connected in one way or another with the law and the meeting out of justice as we saw it. But you must remember, and I think this is probably the most important thing to remember, that there will be no place, or would have been no place, for people like myself if it were not for the public and the public opinion. Of course, since my day, people have changed a great deal in their attitude towards these important matters. There is now a greater realization than it possibly any other time, that it is not the solution to the problem. Murder is a very terrible crime. And I wouldn't have you consider or think for one moment that I'm necessarily in sympathy with the person who commits the murder. I am anxious, as indeed are all right-thinking people, to see justice done. But I can assure you that the taking of a life doesn't solve the problem. Indeed, I would go as far as to say it augments the problem, it makes it worse. It leads to other crimes, often by people who are possessed, not only by the thoughts that have been so emanated over a particular murder deal. Tremendous publicity is given to a murder case, especially one such as the Thompson and Bywater's case. Not only does that in itself have a tremendous effect upon the mass mind, but here and there upon individuals, people are inclined to murder sometimes, and in some instances, especially weak people, are inclined to be like sheep. How often this has been proved to be correct, that you had what I suppose you could term carbon copy murders. A murder is committed, great publicity is given to it, it's made, the case is made by untold thousands of people. And in a very short time, you have simple perhaps, even a series of murders are almost identical. I realize that, of course, these cases must be given publicity. I'm not suggesting you should in any way endeavor to suppress the blood of the press and the spreading of news. I'm not against the press, but I am suggesting, and this is an important thing, that when you do get often a call matter, you get repetition, you get copies, carbon copies of the identical matter. And also, another important thing for you, that quite often the person who has been hanged will cling to the earth for a very long time, thinking made up society. I took my own life. I realize now that it was a long thing to death. But I was in a terrible, terrible state of depression. I witnessed something which had so changed me, changed my outlook and my feelings. Overnight I was a changed man. I couldn't face the future. And I couldn't face something which a lot of people in the world seem to have no knowledge of. I couldn't face seeing the things that I saw. I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't concentrate. And I could find no peace. I was haunted by the things that I'd witnessed, by the things that I'd done, and above all by the people to whom I had the unfortunate task of putting into another world, a world which I myself now inherit, and which, thank God, I can say, I am now heavy. But only a person like myself can tell you of the untold misery that takes place on this side, especially in the early stages of coming here. For those who are sent to the gallows, and to those whose task it is to commit what the law justifies as just retribution. Crime and punishment, crime and punishment. I suppose there are many forms of crime, and there are many types of punishment meted out, but very seldom does the punishment meet the crime. You cannot bring back a life that has been taken. And I would suggest that those who have committed the crime of taking another life, murder, in each case, and I understand today it is much more taken on its merits or demerits, in each case must be considered. And even when it is proved to be a premeditated murder, no good is ever to be found in hanging that person. I would suggest that they be put to some useful work in some capacity, separated from the rest of society, given a chance to work out to some extent their salvation. And in a sense this is a more terrible punishment, but it is the same sensible one, and it does give the individual time to reflect, to change, and to some extent make good for that one moment of madness. Marshall Hall, Birkenhead, the other great souls connected with the law, all are of the same opinion, and it is because they requested that I forgive you to come, that I want you to bear with me, realize that if in the work you are indifferent to do, you can bring about, help to bring about these changes. It was so long ago, some few years ago, the law was changed. Since then, of course, it's been changed again, so that the certain types of murder, hanging still takes place. But what I think one should remember is in the worst cases of murder, that is, premeditated and planned murder, you have here a cold, callous, brutal type of individual who will stop at nothing to achieve his ends. This is a person who obviously has progressed not at all. This is a person who is on the lowest strata of human life. A person who most needs to develop, to expand in his knowledge, and to become a better person in consequence. To see such a person here, although to all outward appearances on the material side of life, that person is no longer in being, that person is dead. But in terms of the truth, that person is very much alive, and being on such an occasion, that is a very earth-pounding consequence. And he invariably seeks his revenge on society by picking up some soul in your world, possibly highly sensitized being, very weak perhaps, but nevertheless not necessarily a bad person. And if he can, he will lead that simple, unsophisticated individual into the ways of darkness. Many of these crimes, as the best of crimes, these crimes that you might call carbon copies, are often committed by people who under normal circumstances wouldn't commit any form of crime, possibly wouldn't even ill-treat an animal or to pick the wings off a butterfly. They are often rather weak individuals, highly sensitive, and they are often very psychic, but they are often good subjects upon which these earthbound souls, these once upon a time murderers, who think themselves. I could tell you, if I had the time, innumerable stories which I'm sure would interest everyone, and they are truthful stories about crimes committed, about people who paid the penalty, and in some cases they were innocent of any crime. And of course, in many instances, they criminals, they obviously did commit the crime, but under strange circumstances for which they were not altogether responsible. There are some very great classic cases which have become classic cases in crime history, which are often brought up and discussed. But I understand there has been a great change among certain peoples in regard to certain crimes committed long ago. Take Dr. Crippen. Now, Dr. Crippen was a man who was completely and absolutely free of any guile. If guile developed in his makeup, he developed the last few months of his life. He was brought down from the little land, well-spoken, fairly well-educated, He was a man who, quite obviously, didn't look at life below himself. He had a wife who was big, lousy, overpowering personality, which he was. He'd been in musicals, in third-rate musicals, in fact. He had no love and affection for her husband. My mother was why she ever bothered to marry him. Of course, in fact, she thought it might bring her a certain amount of respectability and give her an opportunity to entertain in a fairly lavish way. And she was always entertaining, always having these violent voice people of third-rate musical types all around the house. And his whole being was so opposite to hers. One wonders why they ever came with him in the first place. But maybe it is one. As what people do in human society, strange things happen, odd thoughts, you might say, come together. For no rhyme or reason, on the surface it seems as they point that they couldn't possibly be happy. But he was in Africa for no doubt in the early stages. It's got a long story short. I know the facts for that case. Cliffy had no more intention of killing his wife than either you or me. People here have an intention of killing anyone. It's true, they had vows, tempers were high-pitched. But he was a female man, and if he wanted to kill his wife, he had only opportunity. Because he knew enough about medicine and poisons to have done it in a sensible manner. At least I say sensible from the point of view that it might not have been easily discovered if she'd have been ill, for instance, for all I could appearance, if she'd have died and been buried in the normal way, she probably got away with it. Everything points to the fact that she did not deliberately kill his wife. Well, actually it happened, boys. One night there was a terrible row between them, and he lost complete control of himself. And the member was only a small man. She was quite a big hefty bitch. But she was tight, drunk. And she went to hit him, which he hadn't done. And he picked up, hardly realizing what he was doing. Over, and he hit her, and she went flying, and she hit her head against the heavy basket, and she was killed in consequence. The poor man panicked, and then what to do? He realized, or thought, that if he brought in the police, that he'd be accused of murdering her. Which I suppose in a sense one could say she did. On the spur of the moment he lost his temper, the tempers, both of them were feverish. And she was as drunk as could possibly be, and still on her feet. He bit the poker and he struck to defend himself. She fell, drunk as she was, and struck her head. And she was in there to poke the finger. The striking of her head on the heavy paper. He buried. What did he do? He buried her. And then he ran away, which was the best thing he could have done. He could have stood his guns, he could have called in the police and explained what had happened. He may have been acquitted, brought in his men, so forth. But he was hung for murder. I didn't count this because it's of interest, because there's always been some doubting the word Clifford. There's no matter this rather puny little man did do this, it's true he had a mistress. But he went to her for service, for peace and quiet and happiness which he couldn't find. One could go on recounting all sorts of instances and cases of various murders, good or against. But what I want to say is, you too, in some measure can help to bring about a different outlook and eventually, I hope, to make it possible for a way to develop whereby people who fall by the wayside, who do the things which are against all
Thank you.